All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely, and you're here for My Awakening, Episode 8. So basically what I'm doing is I'm interviewing various researchers in all communities, typically ones that do a lot of things because those are what interest me the most. And I'm just going to get everybody's personal journey, like when they first woke up, the topics they went through, how it's affected them, and you guys will see how it goes. So if you're new to this, make sure you check out the playlist. It's on my channel, which we'll link in the chat, Brian S. Stavely on YouTube. Okay? And today's guest is Joey Rocha. Joey, how you doing?
Chee-hoo! I'm doing good.
Good, good, good. Glad to have you on today. Really glad.
Thank you, brother. So, I'm smoking cannabis with tobacco in it because I'm enhancing my endocannabinoid system. I'm a huge advocate for it.
Well, you know what? I would be too, but I can't smoke in this house, so I just smoked on the porch before. So,
right on. All right. Thank you for having me on your show, Brian. I just want to tell everybody before we officially start, do me a favor if you're not already subscribed to Brian's channel, subscribe to it right now while you're watching. And for the viewers that are watching right now, do me a big favor. Please share this in like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different Flat Earth Facebook truth groups so we can get a bigger conversation going. Okay? Thank you very much. That's really what I wanted to say before we start, Brian. And I'm a huge fan of yours, brother, so thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming on. So basically what I'm going to start with asking you is, you know, for a lot of people, it's a lot of different topics. It could be flat earth. It could be 9/11. It could be vaccines, chemtrails, the Mandela effect, JFK, the moon landing, the Holocaust. There's just all sorts of big events. For you, what was your big moment that made you really realize, like, I really can't trust anything from the government and media? And it kind of just woke you up. Because, like, for me, it was 9/11. A lot of people took that road. Some people didn't. What was yours?
Mine also was 9/11, but 9/11 didn't really start my journey. Well, I guess it did technically start my journey, brother, but 9/11, I found out about it a while back, right? And I tried to confront people about it, and I got a lot of animosity, so I stopped becoming a truther for a long time. I just kind of held it. I just held it as my own personal belief. It's kind of cowardly, but that's what I did.
No, well, that's what they discourage you. They discourage you from research and acting like that, and they're the detriment to the movement, really.
So what happened with Flat Earth, brother, was, not necessarily Flat Earth, but Flat Earth opened my eyes. The truth that the Earth is flat and motionless, proven by science, opened my eyes to every single truth. So that's where my awakening actually literally began, brother, because I looked at the Flat Earth about 3.5 years ago, I became a Flat Earther. It took me about 6 or 7, 8 months to decide that the Earth was flat. I had been looking at other topics about Earth, not truth topics. I wasn't really a truther, brother. I was looking at other topics that were concerning the Earth. Like, for example, the expanding Earth, or I was looking at why the retrograde of Mercury didn't make sense on a heliocentric model, but it made sense on a geocentric model. And then I came across a lot of people telling me that the Earth is flat. And so I started looking into it, and I did my own test. And through my own test that I'll tell you about in a little bit, I decided that the Earth was flat, and I decided to come out of the closet about 3.5 years ago and started doing Facebook Flat Earth Live broadcasts pretty much every day since. And during that journey, brother, that's where I learned about everything. It's weird. I came into the Flat Earth pretty much one of my first truths. And then
some people have. I found out by interviewing a few people that they started with Flat Earth. And I always, just because of my own, you know, stupidness, like I always thought everybody came through 9/11, but there were a ton of us. But yeah, I guess some people just came in through flat earth. Like, what was the first thing with the flat earth that was that you saw, that you read, the first thing that triggered something in you? Maybe it was about satellite. Like, what was it for you? Was it somebody's channel, somebody's video? Was it a book? Like, I know it's going to be a collection of things that build up, obviously. But like, in the beginning, was there a couple really big moments for flat earth? If they were, what were they? Certain, like, what was it?
I don't remember what they were, brother, because it's all blank. I've been so involved in this movement. It feels, honestly, it really feels like I've always been a flat earther, even though I know it's not true. It feels like I always have, because I'm a new me. But I don't remember what it was, brother. But the reason why I look down on the screen all the time, everybody, people always ask me, Brian, why I look down, because I'm actually looking at you and you're lower on my screen. So I'll try to look at the audience. But what happened is I heard about all these different proofs that the earth was flat. And so my wife and I were both we're both on the same page with everything. So no matter what, we research it together, right? So we were looking into the flat earth together. But more so, we were just kind of entertaining it. That was about it, because we thought it was a joke like everybody does. And so there was some proofs that the earth is flat, and you can measure it with spherical trigonometry. Now, myself and my wife, we own a tour company called Aloha Circle Island Tours. And one of the stops that we go on is at the blowhole on the south shore of the island. And one of the things we train our tour guides to do is point out that there's an island about 40 miles away called the Island of Molokai. And we always bring them down to the beach and we say, look, you guys can see it on from shore to shore. We never thought anything of it. But as soon as I started hearing about these flat earth proofs, I went, oh my God. So then, you know, I went over there and I checked it out myself again. And I was like, you can see it from shore to shore. So going from that, I have a lot of connections here in Hawaii. I found some friends of mine that work for the government, and they have these things called total stations. Do you know what that is, brother? These tripod-looking things that they use to do land surveys?
Oh, yeah.
They're really expensive. They're like $90,000 pieces of equipment. And so anyways, my buddies, I talked them into allowing me to, when they were surveying the land in Waikiki, to do a survey of the Alawai Canal. And the Alawai Canal is similar to the Bedford Level. It's a canal that goes on a couple of miles. And so I had them set up their total stations a mile and a half apart from each other and to see if there was any deviation of curve. There was no deviation whatsoever. I went, oh my God, that's really crazy, right? So that's where my journey began. After that, my wife bought me a telescope because she wanted me to look further into it. So she got me a telescope because over here on the islands, we have everything is import-export. We have these huge boats with mats and cargo in it. You can't miss them. You can see them for forever, right? So what I did is I brought a group of my friends and we brought the telescope. This is the first time I ever did it too, by the way. I brought a group of my friends and I was so pretty confident, at least, that I was going to be able to see it in my telescope that I told them I think the earth is flat already. We went out there. We saw the boat disappear. I kept it locked in my telescope. Lo and behold, brother, of course, you're a flat earther too. The boat was still in view. It was still in view for a very long time. So that's
one of the best proofs, Joey. That's one of the best ones. I'm glad you could observe that because we should elaborate on that for a second. I mean, that is – you bring that up to somebody, they always think they know, oh, the boats go over the horizon, and it drives me nuts when they say it because it's like, dude, if the boat goes out of your vision and you think it's disappearing bottom up because it went over the curve, well, then how can you zoom in? Because you'd be looking at a hump, or like, is your camera magic? Is it curving around the ball of the earth? No, it's just zooming in because it was the limits of your friggin' eyes, you know? That's a big one. And it drives me nuts. It drives me nuts that people can't understand that.
It's a huge one, Brian, because they use that as pretty much their biggest proof that is, as far as observable proofs, that the earth is a globe. That's one of their biggest proofs. When you look into all their physical proofs, on the ground, not NASA's satellite imagery and stuff.
They say it all the time, and they also tell you that, you know, oh, when we say why can't we see it from a plane, oh, you're not high enough, but I can see it at a boat over the horizon, which is about 2.93 miles, they say, for most people's vision. So at 3 miles I can see it, but up in an airplane where I can see much farther, I don't see anything. No, it's just going out of my sight because I can't see forever, man.
Yeah. And from there, I kept on going, brother, because that, like you said, that's huge, right? The other thing is what totally convinced me was the horizon, right? So I was taking horizon pictures using a level. I was going into Waikiki and having other regular tourists and locals come by and take pictures and show them that it's level and flat. But a lot of people kept on telling me, Brian, you're not high enough up. So I figured, you know what? Okay, the tallest mountain in the world is here in Hawaii, Mauna Kea. Let me go up there, take my level, take a photograph, and that will basically solve the problem. Still perfectly level, no deviation whatsoever of the horizon. And that didn't actually sell me, Brian, because I still was doubting myself. So I had to look further into it. I told you my journey was like 6-7 months, maybe 8 months, I don't know. So at that point, I started looking into, wait a minute, I didn't know satellites were fake. I thought maybe they were still real and that they were
fake. Oh, all right. I went the other way. That's weird. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So I started looking into satellites, and I found out through a bunch of research that I was looking at the pictures and seeing that they're photoshopped and stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is crazy. They're lying to us. And then the big pulling up the wool from your, the carpet from your feet, I found out there's no even possibility of satellites even being up there. And I went, oh my God. And it all took me back. It all took me back to, when I finally had my aha moment, I went, oh, you know what I mean? There, the moon landing, I knew that was fake. I knew that was fake.
Since what time? What year? What year did you know the moon landing was fake?
I knew the moon landing was fake probably about 2 or 3 years after 9/11 crossed my...
So before Flat Earth, though? Before Flat Earth?
Before Flat Earth. Before Flat Earth.
Okay.
I already knew the moon landing.
Hadn't got to looking at the satellites yet. You just kind of, like a lot of people, they look at the moon landing, but then maybe they don't, you know, think all of it's fake from them. But
yeah, and I knew the moon landing was fake, but see, I wasn't really a truther back then, Brian, because like I told you, 9/11 threw me off. So when I was looking into these truths, I was just keeping them under my own belt. I just thought it was interesting and fascinating to learn. I wasn't going to come out with it because I'm a business owner. Plus, at that time, I was working for Wyndham Timeshares, which is the largest timeshare company in the world. I was a presenter. And I didn't want to ruin my reputation of whatever reputation I had with being a conspiracy theorist, right? So I was holding them all in. The only reason I came out was because of the Flat Earth. And the Flat Earth made me realize that there's something we can do about this. I didn't see the moon landing. I didn't think there was anything that, you know, what is it? You tell people the moon landing is a hoax. Even if they believe you, what does that accomplish? Not really that much, in my opinion. But the flat earth means so much more. It means that it's the answer to everything. So that's what I came up.
For many people, I'd say almost everybody, and maybe you don't realize it, but probably including yourself, you have to awaken people to the moon landing first, so they're never, ever going to see the flat earth if they still believe we landed on the moon.
If you can't see that we landed on the, or that the moon landing was a hoax, then it's going to be almost impossible, Brian, to convince
somebody.
Yeah, it would be impossible, I believe, to convince somebody that the earth.
That means you have absolute, total faith in scientism, everything they represent. They're your gods, basically. You just bow down and just listen to anything. Because, like, how can people believe the convertible in space? I mean, you know? And we could go on all day about all the fakery, the ISS, you know, everything. It's
well, Brian, before I was a flat earther, I used to think it was so cool whenever they would discover new planets. I used to geek out on that. I used to be the one that would always tell people, hey, you know that stars are so far away that they probably burnt out.
And how do you feel now knowing those planets were really pictures of like spilled milk in a sink?
You know what? I feel so happy, man. I feel so stoked to be able to know because it's brought me, besides all these truths, it's brought me to, it's brought my real self out. It's brought my real self out to know that we're living in a lie and that there's, certain people that have been activated or woken up to learn this truth has, you know, it feels wonderful. I'm so glad.
It does feel wonderful. I tell people this all the time. It's definitely not a curse. It's a blessing. We were chosen to do this, man.
It's only a curse. It's only a curse, I think, for people that in the beginning of their journey, they feel really adamant about going and telling everybody these truths. And then when they get rejected by some, it devastates them. But
Or people that let the fear propaganda control them. That's where all these other events tie in too, because they keep you in a state of fear to control you. You don't. It affects everything. It affects your judgment, your discernment. It affects your even motivation to go look into things because you're worried. You know, somebody's going to blow you up or somebody's going to shoot you in a school. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, talking about that, I mean, coming into the flat earth, like I told you, it opened my eyes to everything. And one important thing I learned about along the journey is my most important thing, actually, even more important than flat earth in some ways, is crisis actors, like you were just talking about. It blew my mind. It blew my mind that they really have crisis actors. And the whole conclusion that I came to is there's a real battle. You know, the majority of human beings that we call sheep don't know that 9/11, that vaccines, fluoride in the water, flat earth, crisis actor, all these things are actually real and legitimate and 100% provable. And us that do know that, we know that there's a real war that's going on. It's them versus us. And it's not a very fair battle because they've had a long time to prepare and most of us aren't even on the same page. If we were on the same page, now that's a whole nother story, right?
Yeah. The most people aren't even aware of it. And that's the problem is that's where all these other topics, again, not the ones I was just talking about, the fake shootings and all this, but other topics like racism, borders, these things are all for division because, look at that Chinese guy over there. Look at that black guy. Look at this guy. You know, it's like, no, we're all we're all the same. We should be looking at these guys because we so far, like you said, we so far greatly outnumber them. But the problem is there's only such a small percentage of us that actually are even aware of what the hell is going on, that we're even in some kind of mental prison, because that's what it is. It's a mental prison because they don't put bars up around you. But if you think about the way they've manipulated it, people aren't idiots. The people they put on TV as their puppets, they look like idiots, like the politicians and stuff. Those they are idiots because they have to be useful idiots. You know what I mean? To not ask too many questions, but be dumb enough to go, you know, like the astronauts. Why don't they put better astronauts to interview? Well, because if they put smarter people up there that are more intellectual, they're probably going to figure out more than you want them to figure out because it's compartmentalized. But they're probably going to be, you know, poking around a lot more than you want.
Yep, exactly.
So what made you look into the crisis actors? Was it a certain event? Was it somebody's web? What happened? How'd you come to that?
Well, with crisis actors, I really thought it was the same thing as Flat Earth. When I first started looking at Flat Earth, I thought it was actually like, you know, this is like Bigfoot or something like that. If you believe in Bigfoot, I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just saying that I look at Bigfoot as being not provable whatsoever. So when I heard about crisis actors, I thought it was too impossible. Because just because the earth is flat and stuff, I didn't realize the whole thing was a lie. And then, of course, I looked into it. I don't remember any videos that I looked into in particular, but I looked into crisis actors, and I found out that it was legit. I found out that these same people were showing up at different events and that it was being proven, and people were actually, other truthers were going out and confronting these people. And I was like, oh, my God. And then around that time, too, I started to realize that every single school shooting, et cetera, those two were all fakes and hoaxes. And that's what, you know, I can't remember a certain video that opened my eyes, Brother Brian, because I'm hooked on, I don't watch TV. All I do is research all day.
Yeah, no, me neither. All of the mass shootings, at least since I've looked from the time I've been looking 9/11 forward, I haven't seen a real one yet, at least not in this country. Okay, I can't say it doesn't happen anywhere, but I would tend to think there's a lot more of the same shit bullshit going on worldwide. I just, you know, haven't looked into those. But everything here from Sandy Hook to Gabby Giffords to Aurora to Pulse, that shit's all fake. I'm sorry, people. That is all fake. If you don't like that opinion, then you probably don't like my channel. You might want to unsub.
No, it is fake. It's 100% fake. And look at the Vegas shooting. You know, they say what happens in Vegas was staged in Vegas.
I forgot that one, and that's the most ridiculous one.
You know, it was very likely. I don't know the answer, neither does Brian. We don't know everything. But in my opinion, it's very likely that it's as simple as a bunch of different orchestrations. Probably nobody was killed whatsoever. And I think that they just wired the microphone, the speakers for gunshots.
And but here, there was even video of people in the front row yelling out to people to calm down because it's just coming over the speakers. I got the video. YouTube actually took it down after a day. I backed it up. So there's a I didn't originally post it, but somebody did. I made sure I downloaded it, and I have it. And the guy says that. YouTube removed it the next day. Removed it the next day. And there's another one where there's two girls walking around, and they're like, I don't really see anybody actually injured. They say it twice. They're not panicking. They don't move at all. And yeah, you see some people rushing out, but fake gunshots would have some people rushing out. But it's not causing a stampede. Nobody's getting trampled. And there's literally thousands of people still lying in the grass. Yeah, a lot of people are leaving, but the concert's over. Of course, a lot of people are leaving. It ended abruptly with noises of guns over a speaker, but there's still not the panic you would see in the crowd.
Imagine this. Imagine this, Brother Brian. Brian, yeah. If you weren't a truth, sorry about the echo. You should calm down. But imagine this: if you were at the Vegas concert and you heard everybody running around saying there's a shooter, in your mind, there's a shooter.
Of course.
So that's why their witnesses are real people. That's the sucky thing.
That's why people
and everybody else is legit. So you hear their sob stories, and a lot of them are real because they're imagining in their mind there's a real shooter. And
yeah,
because
you put a whole crowd in there. People are like, oh, there were real people at the concert. Yeah, you only need to put like 30, 40 people in there acting crazy. You're going to have 10,000 people thinking there's a shoot going on. It's not really that bad.
It's not really that hard. Real simple. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. And, you know, speaking of rocket science, how ridiculous is it now that we're flat earthers and we're in the truth community to even think that propelling yourself from the ground with these huge, heavy fluid filled with gasoline and different fuels to propel them up, it wouldn't even work. It's not even the smartest way.
Yeah, where's all the fuel that they're holding? Like, you know, that's not gonna only gonna get them so far.
You know, like, really, when I looked into the moon landing, just like most people, when I looked into the flat Earth theory, I didn't even know the heliocentric theory. That's, you know that's for sure. Most people who are doubting the flat Earth, they don't even know their own heliocentric theory. When I was looking into the moon landing, I had no idea that we're right here on Earth and here's the moon. I thought that we sent a rocket straight up and landed there. I had no idea that it had to go around 9 times and, you know what I mean, all the elaborateness that they perpetuated. I had no idea of that. The more you look into whatever their facts are, which most people don't, that debunks it themselves. You know, they debunk themselves. Usually they tell on themselves in their own admissions, like NASA's talking about the Earth being flat, et cetera, et cetera. And now they're saying that we can't get back to the moon because we lost that technology. You know, you have to think to yourself, as a normal non-truther. Actually, I don't think there's any more non-truthers anymore, Brian. I used to say that, but now I don't think there's any non-truthers anymore. I think everybody is on either a 9/11, vaccines, fluoride, big pharma.
So I don't know. I have to disagree with that. I wouldn't say everybody. There's some people that are just totally not looking at anything still, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, I'm talking about a good amount, you know, a strong amount. Like, for example, my grandma's a 9/11 truther. My grandma.
Really? Now, did she get it from you, or did she get it from someone else?
No. You know what's really funny is I asked her because it was about 9 or 10 months ago. I asked her, and I was like, oh, you know what I mean? Let me see if I can plant a little seed with her. You know, let me just see what happens. She's really nice. And I said, what do you think about the 9/11 conspiracy? Right away, she said, oh, I knew right away when I saw George Bush, because she can't stand George Bush. When I saw him whispering and I saw those videos, I knew right away. And I was like, oh, you're a 9/11 truther. Why didn't you say anything to anybody? She goes, oh, I don't know. So that's why I'm saying, like, when you actually pick somebody's brain and you're not being confrontational with them, they will admit it. And Brian, a lot of times I've noticed this. People claim like they don't believe in any conspiracies because they don't want to be put in that category. But when you're when you're having a normal, calm conversation and you're not mentioning any of your conspiracies, they'll usually open up with a few of theirs. I think a lot of people who are non-conspiratorial, they will just deny it.
Yeah, absolutely. So how has it gone for you on people you have approached in your family or close personal friends, like not online people, you know, like as far as talking to them? How has that gone for you, or what's the process you use, or how's that going?
So it went horribly at first because I realized that I was being too aggressive with my information. You know, a man convinced against his will is like the same opinion still. So I laxed my approach after doing this for a while, and it works great now. I have several family members that are not only truthers but flat earthers. In my scope of friends, the only friends I hang out with are flat earthers. I have a flat earth clothing store at the mall, and my wife and I, we work there, and on occasion we have some flat earthers that work there for us. So it's gone really easily now. And the process that I use to inform people that the earth is flat is way different than what I used to do. I used to tell them about the interferometer experiments with Mixon Morley. I used to tell them about the Bedford level. You know, I would explain all kinds of stuff like that, and it went way over their heads and they didn't understand it. Now I just kind of go back to the basics and I tell them basically what I told you. I tell them my story. And since I live here in Hawaii, it's really easy, Brian, because I can point out the island of Molokai, which everyone knows that we can see from shore to shore. And I go, look, if the earth is 25,000 miles in circumference, then there's a measurable, you know, I go through the whole measurable, detectable way that you can find out through using math if you should be able to see the entirety of the island. And when I show them on paper, at least it makes them think. And then from there, I give them some mental experiments. You know, I don't go hardcore on them. I just plant a seed. And I realize you're not going to convince anybody in 1 hour or 1 day.
So absolutely.
But yeah, it's going great, brother. All my friends are flat earthers. I refuse to have a friend that's not a flat earther. It's just, you know, that's just how I am. I'm not going to, I can't do that. I can't hang out with somebody who's not a hero and who's not trying to win in this crusade against the evil pedophiles of Hollywood. And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going great, but my heart's in it. And I think that people can tell, because what I tell them right away, Brian, is that no matter what they think of the earth being flat or not, I always let them know, one, I'm not trolling you. I'm not doing this to troll you. And two, I believe this with my heart. And so as soon as they realize that, they're like, oh, wow. Okay. And then they'll usually want to ask more questions about it.
Yeah. So you said that this woke you up to a bunch of different topics, right? With the flat earth. And I know some of them that you're into, obviously, because I've been following you for a while. You know, I know you've looked into volcanoes. You're really big on a raw diet. Why don't you talk about how you came across those couple of topics and maybe some other big ones for you?
Okay, the volcanoes, I've been interested in volcanoes for about 12, 13, 14 years maybe. Can't remember exactly, but it's because I used to have a job with a company called Expedia.com, local agents. And we used to get farm tours, familiarization tours for free. They used to pay us to go on these tours so we could familiarize ourselves so we could sell them to the tourists. Well, I've always been fascinated with volcanoes, so I decided to go to the Big Island of Hawaii to explore the lava flow. And when I did, each time I was really disappointed because just like everybody else who goes there, it used to be really boring. It's not right now, but it used to be real slow moving. You can't see the red glow that they talk about unless it's nighttime. And so I was really disappointed. And the volcanists that were there on site, I was talking to them and they knew that I was a sales representative and they could tell I was kind of down and they wanted me up, right? And so they're like, hey, what's going on here? I'm like, well, can you take me to the part where there's like a cone-shaped mountain where lava's coming out of it? Because it doesn't come out that way. It comes from underground lava tubes. And they said, no, there's no active ones. And I went, what? And I remember, I'm not a truther at this point. So it's not really registering to me. I'm like, what? There's no active ones. And they said, no. I go, well, where is all this lava coming from? I just didn't put two and two together. Because it's a flat level ground where it's coming from, right? And they said, underground lava tubes, and that's where lava comes from. So I've always stuck with that, and I've always kept that in my mind. And every single time that I went back to visit them, I would ask them more and more questions. Like, for example, I would ask them, how is it that we're seeing these volcanic eruptions then? What is that? And they explained to me what a volcanic eruption is not actually an eruption. What it is when the lava pours out of these lava tubes onto the flat surface of our ground, eventually it finds cavities, you know, surfaces where it can fill up. Yeah. Now what happens is, remember, lava is extremely hot. So what happens is, as it fills up this, what they call these lava pools or these lava beds, it starts to push with its tremendous force and heat on the walls of this cavity, causing debris from above to fall in. When that debris from above falls in, it doesn't sink in like we would think. It acts as water in a frying pan. It shoots out. And when that happens, that's the money shot that they're panning in on that they make us think is an eruption. So that's how I got into it, and I learned all that stuff. And it fascinated me like crazy, Brian, because one interesting thing that isn't seemingly involved with lava flow or volcanoes is earthquakes. Earthquakes are caused by underground lava tubes. So you have the surface right here where we're walking on, and then you have these lava tubes that are about the size of subway tunnels coursing through the earth like veins in our body. As they're moving around underneath the earth, they're displacing the ground in between the surface and where they're at. So if you notice, whenever you see what we call an earthquake, you see a cave-in. And it's caused, you see a cave-in, right? So an earthquake is kind of like, to me, lightning and thunder. Lightning is what you see and thunder is what you hear. Well, when an earthquake occurs, what you see is a cave-in, and what you feel is the earth quaking. So it's caused, and if you notice, volcanic eruptions and seismic activity always go hand in hand. And so these volcanists are the ones that taught me that. And as far as the raw food diet goes, brother, I was on the raw food diet about 10 years ago. I was a semi-pro athlete at a few different sports, and I found out, and brother, I was willing to do anything. When I was a semi-pro athlete, I was like I was as fixed as I am on flat earth and truth, I was fixed in sports. I wanted to make it pro. That's what I was trying to do. There was three different sports I was trying to make it pro at, so I was trying my hardest. And I found out that the raw food diet works better than steroids. No joke, because I knew people on steroids. So I did the raw food diet. It worked tremendously for me. It makes all the sense in the world. And it made my strength, my recuperation, everything.
Nothing you cook, nothing at all? No exceptions?
Yeah, there are exceptions. Actually, the raw food diet, you can have white rice. You can have some steamed vegetables. And that's about it.
Wow. Does your family participate?
My wife's a raw foodist. My daughter's a raw foodist. Most of my friends are raw foodists. And my mom and my auntie are just starting the diet. So
why don't you tell people about your recent, the story I've heard you talk about, the 3 weeks and the 50 pounds. And your coworkers not recognizing you on that.
Yeah. So, okay. Like I said, I was on the diet 10 years ago. I fell off of it. and completely, well, what happened, Brian, I don't know if I told you this, I got cancer, pancreatic cancer. Did I tell you that?
I don't think you did.
Okay, so I got pancreatic cancer. It's the worst, most painful thing you can ever experience. It left me in bed for 9 months laying on my stomach. I couldn't even lay on my back because the pain was too strong. I didn't care about nutrition at that point. I didn't care. I couldn't compete in sports anymore. I lost my drive. I was pretty much depressed. And so once I finally recuperated from cancer, I cured myself from cancer with this thing that I call the Trojan horse cookie cure, where you mix sodium bicarbonate with blackstrap molasses, fast for a few days, eat it, and it acts as a Trojan horse and kills, it alkalizes the cell, the cancer cell that uses your own tissue as what we call a tumor, and it causes cell apoptosis. So anyways, it took me, it was a long journey, brother, to get off of, to heal back from curing myself from cancer because all the damage that it did to my body. So finally, once after becoming a truther already, I decided, wait a minute, I'm not really, I'm more so, I was being like a Facebook hypocrite. I was preaching, but I wasn't doing it. You know what I mean? I wasn't doing all the things I was saying. I was just giving information and hoping other people would do it. But I wasn't doing a lot of the stuff myself. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do the raw food diet. I'm going to quit drinking alcohol. I'm going to, you know what I mean? I'm going to do all the things that I tell everybody else to do. So I just went back on the same diet that I was on. I was about 210 pounds. If you guys look at pictures of me, let's see. Well, I can't find any right now. But if you guys look at pictures of me or look at my videos from 6 or 7 months ago, I've got 2.5 chins. When I used to take my shirt off, I used to have the side rolls, everything like that. The raw food diet, 3 weeks, I went from 210 to 155, 10-pack, abdominal 10-pack, muscles, vascularity, endurance. And here's why, Brother Brian and everyone listening, here's why. The raw food diet is a proven diet that hydrates your body. And the human body, think of it, think of a cat or a dog or any kind of species of animal. They don't have to work out to be strong and be able to jump up trees and all this stuff. Well, neither do we. It just turns out that since we're the only species that eats cooked foods, that it turns out we were doing the wrong diet the whole time. And of course, the powers that shouldn't be are probably the ones who tricked us into it. But when you're eating like a gorilla, basically, because gorillas eat mostly fruits and plants, when you're eating like that, you're hydrating your body and you're not giving it any toxicity. Naturally, a human body is incredibly strong, if not can always poison. For example, if you vaccinate yourself, you're not going to be as strong as if you're not vaccinated, right? So the raw food diet's a hydrating diet, and my strength right now is ridiculous. I can do 275 pounds on the incline 10 times. And I use a wide grip. That's a lot of weight, Brian, if you're not familiar. You look like you work out, so you probably know. Now, I come from a weightlifting background, so I know what strong is. I used to do powerlifting tournaments. I won several powerlifting tournaments from 16 all the way to 19 years old. I know proper technique and all this stuff, but I wasn't as strong then as I am now. And then I was doing the pseudoscience. I was taking liquid amino acids and vitamin, you know, this and vitamin that. But my strength right now is uncomparable to most people unless you're a raw foodist. And it works because it keeps your body hydrated and it keeps it fluid and it keeps you regulated all the time.
Probably help you heal a lot quicker too if you had any injuries. I'm sure any swelling, you would probably never get any swelling almost, right?
No. And luckily, Brother Brian, just after I started my raw food diet about a month after I started my raw food diet, I had a horrible injury, brother. I slipped at work. I fell down. I slipped in water and I fell down on the cement while I was holding my daughter. And I fell on my tailbone and it knocked my C4 out of place, creating sciatica and horrible pain. I couldn't walk. It was horrible. Luckily for me, I'm on the raw food diet. The doctors and chiropractors said I could likely be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. I'm on the raw food diet. Now, brother, I'm out climbing mountains and going surfing again. So the raw food diet will help you to recoup. Just like, you know, wild animals, whenever they get injured, they lick their wounds for a few days and they're healed.
Well, you're speaking of the diet, and it's obvious like the doctors aren't going to tell you to go on that. You did that on your own advice. So that leads me back to a question I had earlier about your awakening. So when did you come to the awakening that the medical system was a fraud? Because I know you don't vaccinate your daughter. You eat raw food. So when did you realize to stop trusting the doctors or the so-called medical system, the AMA, all these frauds?
it wasn't until I became a flat earther, because I had to research these things, but I didn't really take them serious. I don't know how to explain it, but like even the moon landing, it's kind of like I just kept it in my pocket, but you know, it wasn't real life for me because I still had to work. You know, I was a partier, Brian. I was a partier too. I used to drink and go to parties, and you know what I mean? It wasn't like, it was a hobby of mine to look up this stuff. So I already kind of had it in my back pocket. I took it seriously once I became a flat earther and realized that crisis actors were real and all that stuff. And I looked heavier into it. And thank God I did, Brian, because my daughter was born just shortly, or I found out I was pregnant with my daughter just shortly after I had become a flat earther. So then I went, oh my God, like what happens when you're really put in the spot where, you know, I don't know about you. Do you have any children, brother?
Yeah.
Okay. And so how old are your kids?
He's 21 though.
Okay. So 21. So with me, okay, this is my first child, right? And she's 2.5. With me, I was putting my back up against the wall and I was actually kind of scared. I was thinking my wife and I were both scared. Both of us being flat earthers and both of us being knowing and researching that vaccines cause autism. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. You know how I learned that? My wife taught me that. She's a, she was an autistic teacher.
Really?
And she,
so she did a lot of research into what was going on with the kids, I'm sure, because she cared about the kids because she had a connection with them, right?
Well, she experienced that certain children, that when they got, well, adults actually, they call them kids because the special needs, they just usually call them kids. But certain of these young adults, when they would get their vaccines, they would, some of them would have seizures immediately. And a lot of the teachers, according to her, knew, they were like, oh my God, this is, there's something in there.
Imagine watching a kid get a shot and the kid has a seizure, but people are so brainwashed, they'll write it off and think it's still good for them and take their kid to get another one. It's insane. You'll watch somebody stick a needle in your kid will start seizing out, and then you'll still take them to get another one. And I've talked to more people that have gotten sick after getting the flu shot than all of us who don't get it, and I'm like, fine.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the flu that we get, it's something that's natural and healthy for us to get. So we didn't, even if the flu shot did work, which it doesn't, and it fills you up with all kinds of negative stuff, even if it did work, you wouldn't want that, because it turns out the average person has acquired cancer 7 times in their life and didn't even know it, and your body fought it off naturally. And the research, the alternative research, says that usually when you get the flu, it's your body fighting off something really, really strong, like cancer, for example. So our body's getting the flu. It's not from viruses and bacteria like they teach us that it is. Bacteria is actually really good for us. You know, they tell us everything the opposite. But to answer your question, brother, my wife is the one that turned me on to vaccines. Even though I had known about it a little bit, but my wife did. I had seen stuff from Jenny McCarthy and several other celebrities that were promoting it. Do you remember the movie Vax when it came out?
Yeah, I didn't see it though, but I remember when it came out and De Niro was pushing it.
Yeah, so all those different things was right around the time that my daughter was about to be born. And my wife and I decided probably about 3 months before she was born, we weren't going to do any vaccines because we had to go through them, even though we knew. It's crazy the hypnosis that the globe mentality has on you. We knew, or at least we were very confident that vaccines cause autism, right? But still, when it came to our own child, it was scary. We were thinking, oh my God, what if we don't give her the polio vaccine and she gets polio? So I researched every single one of those with my wife, and we came to the conclusion together, all of them are the same category. Not one of
Dr.
them.
Dr. Hilleman at Merck, the head guy, he's dead now, but the head doctor for Merck vaccine, the largest manufacturer, he is on camera laughing about how they put cancer in the polio vaccines, laughing about it.
Yeah.
You know? It's pretty crazy. You have a couple other things that I know you look into, and I like your ideas a lot on them, and I wanted to bring them up, and they tie in together, so I'll just mention them both at the same time, and you'll see obviously why they tie in together. Your ideas on lightning, the firmament, and the construction, what the firmament is made of, and maybe how it operates or whatever. Start with the lightning.
God, that's my favorite topic in the whole world. It really is. It's my favorite. So we have proof that the earth is motionless. We have a few different proofs. I'll just quote Michelson Morley's interferometer experiment. Okay, so that's a go-to, that's a guarantee. Okay, and we also have a lot of proofs that the earth is flat. Like, for example, Kansas is flatter than a pancake, the Bedford level, and much more. Those are guaranteed, undisputable. Well, when it comes to the dome, we have like rainbows and sun dogs and atmosphere, etc., etc. Those aren't like slam dunks. But what is a slam dunk is the fact that lightning, if you study the science of lightning, it travels upwards, not downwards. It travels upwards. And I'll explain it real quick to everybody who's listening who doesn't know. By the way, I'm not trying to compete with science. Science, modern science, you know, Gatorade science even agrees that lightning travels up. So it's not that I'm dispelling a myth from traditional science. It's just an urban legend. Like, for example, when you see a cartoon, you see the lightning shooting down. Well, you know, that's putting something in our brain that lightning shoots down. But when
it's the idea that the earth is creating, that they don't want you to know about anything like that.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And just as even astrophysicist Tyson deGrasse says that the Coriolis effect is an urban legend, that depending on the way that the water starts to go down the drain is which way it'll go, right? Well, in that same effect, it's an urban legend only that lightning goes down. So the way that lightning works is this. There's constant energy coming up from the earth that they call upward leaders. And think of it as invisible tentacles that are coming up. And when you have these dark rain clouds, and only the dark rain clouds, when they're passing by, they carry these things called downward leaders. They're also invisible electrical tentacles that are hanging down. As they make contact with the earth's upward leaders, these downward leaders, when they make a connection, you hear a noise, like a crackle noise. That means there's a connection. It's like an umbilical cord for it. It's a tube. It's a hollow electrical tube that allows the energy of Earth to shoot upwards. And you can see this in slow motion HD lightning videos on National Geographic, all kinds of different major syndicated broadcast shows. So it's not like it's disputed whatsoever. But the thing about it is, if you think about it, wait a minute, if it travels up, how the heck are we hearing thunder? And why is thunder a delayed roar?
Yeah, it would just escape. It wouldn't echo back. It echoes like you're inside a dome.
Well, look at a planetarium. The only way that you can see artificially what we're able to see in reality is by having a flat seating surface with a domed roof where everyone looks up and sees it, right? So that's the only way we can recreate it. But for the dome proof, how is it possible that lightning, since it does travel upwards, how is it possible that we're hearing that reverberation or that roar as a delayed 5, 10, 15 seconds later? How is that possible? Because if there was no vast structure covering our plane of Earth, then it would go into the infinity of space, right? Of course. It would just keep on going until it either dissipated or forever, however it travels, right? And it would also mean that all of our ancestors since the beginning of time were wrong, because not only did they say it was flat and motionless, but they said it was a dome. There was a dome covering this as well. So lightning traveling upwards, hitting off the dome, reverberating back as thunder is absolute 100% proof that there's a dome. Just like I believe the earth is flat and motionless, I believe there's a dome. The three go hand in hand. They're all very provable. And another thing you were talking about, Brian, is the dome, what I believe it's made out of. I heavily believe that it's made out of blue obsidian. And the reason why is all my years of research in a volcano, you know how all of your truths start to come together at certain points? Well, I'm a Bible believer, and Job 37:18, when asked, what is the dome or the firmament or the rakia made of, it is said that it's a molten lava looking glass. Well, I know lava like the back of my hand. It's made out of silicon and oxygen. I can tell you all about the temperatures and et cetera, right? Well, I also know that lava, when it's cooled down, it turns into obsidian, normally black obsidian. But when it's cooled down rapidly, it turns into either green or blue obsidian, depending on the temperature that it's cooled down at. So we theorize that at the borders, or we theorize that we're encircled at an Antarctic ice ring, correct? So if you take the ring of fire on a globe and you put it onto a flat earth map, well, it's just on the outer portion, just inside of the Antarctic ice ring. So that lava flowing out is going to be cooled rapidly in that cold water, and it's going to create this thing we call blue obsidian. So as it formed together,
it formed from the lava on the ground, formed it upwards and into a dome.
Upward. And look at Tepashin's law. It's a law of physics, and it's provable that that is possible. But the way that it works is like this. Remember, we don't know how thick this wall is. It could be a few miles, or it could be a half a mile thick, but it's thick, and glass is extremely strong. So if it was a perfect circle like we theorize that it is, and like the Bible says it is, then as it was going up, it created, once it met together, that's what created its perfect foundation. That's what created its strength and its structure. Also, obsidian, if you crack obsidian, it'll always form a perfect arch. That's what it does. It always does. Matter of fact, what's that?
How?
Okay, let's just say you take a chunk of obsidian and you smash it with a rock. When you smash it, there'll be inside the smash, there'll be a perfect arc. And not only that, Brian, it's just the way that obsidian is. It's just the way that it is.
I'm just boggled. How does that do that?
Not only that, Brian, but when it forms that perfect arch, it's also the sharpest thing known to man. So if you take a surgical steel blade, the most precise surgical steel blade in the world, and you put it under an electron microscope, you will see that it still has serrated edges. However, obsidian blade.
You talked about hitting it with a smash in it. How hard is it to smash?
Well, it's a piece of glass. So if you try to hit it, it won't. You have to crack it nice and good and hard. Remember, it's a solid piece of glass. So you'd have to crack it pretty hard. So
do you think the firmament is just thicker than what we could be able to test? You think it's really, really, really thick so it couldn't be cracked?
Well, not only do I think, I think it can't be cracked, and I think it is very thick, but not only do I think it's very thick, but in our atmosphere that's leading up to it, I think that just like if you tried to go underneath the ocean and touch the surface of the floor, the pressure won't even allow you to. I believe the pressure up there wouldn't even allow you to touch it anyways. So whenever we see these rockets going up and they're like, dunk, and they just kind of go back down, well, it just can't go any further, and it's just lost all its momentum.
Go back down. Ditch them in the Bermuda Triangle.
And blue obsidian is perfect because it's biblical and it's logical here on Earth. It's created here on Earth. Not only that, but blue obsidian would be the exact perfect reason that we have rainbows because glass. And why does the sky look blue during the day? Can anybody answer that? Why does the ocean or water look blue during the day? It's got a bluish hue to it, although it's clear. Well, if there was a blue glass hue that was coming, reflecting down, well, then that would cause the blue sky effect, and that would also cause the blue water effect. Also, the byproduct of obsidian is something called perlite. It's a typical planting soil. Have you seen it before, Brian? It's those little white balls that you put in your planting soil, called perlite. Well, it's the only non-renewable abundant resource we have on Earth. Doesn't make sense, right? Wait, non-renewable abundant resource? That doesn't make sense. How is that possible, right? Well, the reason why it's possible is because what we see is shooting stars is literally the byproduct of obsidian. So the dome is rotating one complete 360-degree rotation per day, right? That's why we have the star trails.
That's what I believe. Yeah.
Well, just like our skin is continually renewing itself and shedding, so is the dome. It's continually renewing itself, and it's shedding. And the byproduct of obsidian, if you look it up, Wikipedia or anything like that, the byproduct of this perlite. That's probably why we have perlite all over Earth. But even deeper than that, the way that perlite behaves is exactly as a shooting star does. And this is here on Earth. If you get perlite and you put it in conditions of either high heat or fast temperatures or fast speeds, it expands, puffs up like a popcorn ball to about 700 times its size, and then it has a tail behind it, and then just poofs. And just all this little mana stuff just scatters all over the Earth. We constantly have shooting stars. Therefore, the only substance that we have on Earth that's non-renewable is perlite. Where are we getting it from? It's from the obsidian dome.
Awesome. So we're going to wrap it up in like 10 minutes or so, but I want to do an after show if people are interested. So, but it's not going to really be, I say 10 minutes, but I try and keep them so they're not so long so people, you know, tend to click and watch a bunch of them. That's why we're going to move the more in-depth back and forth conversation and take the questions in the after show. We'll have a second video, so the first one's not so long. But before we wrap it up, I'm going to give everybody the phone number. But I'm going to ask you another big question, and it's going to be a good one. Everybody that wants, if you guys want to call into the after show, right, here's the number. Okay, it's in the chat now. And when this video ends with Joey, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go take a little bathroom break, get a drink. I'm going to create an event, and we're just going to relaunch a new show. I'm going to create a new event, so just refresh my channel. You'll see the new live event come up in a few minutes, and then just come back into the room, and we're going to do a second video just to keep these videos as short as I need them. But before all that being said, Joey, I want to ask your opinion on a couple of topics and you to tie them together for me, all right? So that's why I said it's probably not really going to be 10 minutes. Your opinion on evolution, how it ties in with the Big Bang and the flat Earth.
There's no proof of evolution. It ties in with the flat Earth tremendously because the combination of the Earth being flat and evolution being a hoax is what turned me from an atheist into a Bible believer. And it's done the same thing for many people. There's no proof of evolution. They wanted us to believe that we evolved so we wouldn't realize how special and important we are, because there's a big difference between evolving from a microscopic level to being created in the image of the Almighty. There's a huge difference between those two. And evolution also allows dinosaurs and all the other Big Bang, et cetera, to be potentialized, because their excuse for all of them is it happened so long ago that that's their explanation for everything. But evolution is a complete hoax. There's not one single proof. That's what I went on my journey on for a long time, is give me one proof that we can look at to see if evolution is possible, and then we'll explore it. Evolution meaning a change of kind. One thing turns into another thing. Not bacteria turning into a different type of bacteria. Not a finch's beak, you know, elongating to adapt to a certain environment. I'm talking about a penguin turning into a seagull. You know what I'm saying? Some type of change of kind that can occur. Absolutely none. There's zero proof of evolution. Evolution, I don't even like saying there's zero proof of evolution. Evolution is a lie. So yeah, evolution.
It's a total lie to separate you from the idea of a creator and creation and all that. It's a total lie. And you know, you don't have to be religious in sense to realize these things. Like, as
no, you don't.
I'm not religious. I'm not. But, and it's like, we don't have to see the same thing as far as that. We see eye to eye on so many things. And it's I know there's a creator. It doesn't mean I have to be religious. I know there's a creator. We didn't just appear. There wasn't a big bang where a bunch of shit just blew up out of nothing, just absolute nothing, just exploded. If you can imagine this, and you can't, because I know you can't, try wrapping your head around it. Nothing exploded into everything. All this stuff just started forming spheres and started spinning around each other. But this has never been shown in a lab or anywhere. You don't go outside and see a pebble spinning around a boulder. Why don't we see that at every construction site? You know, it's only in the earth, and you can never see the earth and these other things spinning. The only thing you can ever see is fake CGI images. There is no proof of any of this. It's all to separate you from God.
Yes.
In my opinion. And I know that people say, you just said you weren't religious and talking about God, but I believe there's a God. And I believe that it doesn't matter if I believe or not. These people do, the people that are controlling NASA, you know, and they're all against God is the point, you know, NASA, scientism, CERN, you know, the royal families, you know, all the groups. I'm not going to name them all. You know, it's not even important because they're all in on it. You know, it's the overall thing. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap it up in a few minutes. I want to get you one last message from you though, before we do. And, you know, you're very much like I am on trying to have a lot of, you know, just people kind of cooperating and sharing their research in the community. You want to speak on how important that is real quick?
I do, Brian, but also real quickly, there's something else I wanted to throw in there real quickly.
Yeah.
When we go into the after show, you guys, I'm going to be talking about how the pyramids were built. I know for sure how they were built.
You talk about whatever you want there. People are going to want to pick your brain too.
It's been proven. So it's called geopolymer technology. It's ancient cement making. So it was real simple. But Brian asked me the unity. So you guys, there's millions of flat earthers. There's millions of truthers all over the world. There's a lot of us. There's cliques. We're fighting with each other. We're not really getting along right now. What Brian and I and a lot of other people in the truth movement are on the same page about is that we realize that only in unity, only together can we win this war. It is a real war. And until we combine forces, we don't stand a chance against these people. We have to win. We have to start, just like there was a million man march, well, there needs to be a million truther march. This is the real march. This is the real fight for our future. So put your differences aside, put your egos aside, and make friends with every single person who's, especially if they're a flat earther or any truther in general, because it's time that we win. And we don't have much time because 2020 is right around the corner. And if you guys have done your research on the 5G that they're going to be laying out totally everywhere, the implications are that they could have, even though we're starting to win and our momentum is growing big time, they may be able to shut us down with that mentally. So it's extremely important, you guys, unite to win the fight.
Awesome, Joey. Awesome. One of the final things I'm going to ask, this will be the final thing, and then we're going to close it out. And what we're going to do, guys, we're going to relaunch a new show. You'll see a new live stream pop up on this channel in a few minutes after we get off. Joey, why did you decide to come on this show and do this interview?
I like you, brother, I like what you stand for. I like what you represent. I respect you. You're a man of integrity and honor, and you're smart too. And you've been doing this forever. And I do my own show. So I don't normally go on anybody's show unless I'm going to talk about a certain topic. But I wanted to be, you know, you asked me if I could be interviewed. And normally I would make an excuse because I don't really like to do interviews. But you and I are on the same page. And I think that it's important to get out our message of how we came to the Flat Earth, because it helps other people to feel more comfortable looking into it. And it also helps other people who are already Flat Earthers to come on and show their face on camera too and describe their journey, because you guys, through explaining your journey, like if you come on Brian's show and you explain your journey or somebody else's show, it'll bring out your confidence once you show your face on camera. And then you can start to do hopefully your own show, you know, because it's going to take all of us showing our face on video and doing our own live broadcast on a regular basis to win over this whole population. We're almost there, but that's why I did it, Brian, because you're my homeboy and I respect you. And everything you stand for, I stand for.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that. All right, so anybody that's been listening, by the way, if you're not familiar with this channel, I'm on my backup channel right now because I am on a 90-day ban from YouTube, and I'm only about 10 days into it. They banned me 3 months for some of my 9/11 content.
By the way, if you're not familiar with this channel.
Joey, I'm hearing an echo. All right, yeah, thank you. So basically, this is my backup channel, The Real News Online. I just want to tell you my main channel is Brian S. Stavely. Some people can probably throw that in the chat for me right now if you guys could, just to help out. That's where all my content is. I have I think I got exactly 70 videos there now. So make sure you check it out. I've done like 5 in the last week. This is the 8th interview like this. So I have a whole playlist of my awakenings, different people, different topics. Some are Mandela effect, some are 9/11 heavy, some are like Joey Flat Earth heavy, but they all talk about different things too, you know, and everybody's story is unique. And we also did an excellent show yesterday with Glow. She's in the chat. And Paul Knight, we got into the lies about CERN. We got into Paul's ideas on the firmament. We got into some other flat earth stuff. I'm stumbling over my words. A lot of Mandela effects. So make sure you guys check it out and sub the channel. So what we're going to do, guys, I'm going to create a new link right now. I might even be able to get it in this chat, but if not, just this is my channel right here, The Real News Online. All you guys got to do in like 5 minutes is just click on my icon right under the video where it says The Real News Online right under the video. If you click the name, it'll bring you to my channel's main page. And once the live stream is ready, it'll pop up there and we'll do the after show. Joey, thank you for coming on, brother. And I will send you a Google Hangout link in about 10 minutes when we're ready to launch, okay?
My pleasure, brother. Love you, man.
All right. And we're going to go into the pyramids and stuff.
Love it.
Any other teases? Any other topics you want to tease people that we're going to get into? Anything else?
I think the pyramid, the endocannabinoid system, that should be pretty good right there.
All right. Awesome. All right, everybody. Thank you. You're listening to Dose Radio. And we'll see you in the after show. And if you're not watching live, the after show will be right in the playlist after the main show. All right, guys. Thank you.
Subscribe and share, guys.